It's great to be here this morning and consider whether God cares. And I wonder, have you ever felt as if you're stuck in a spiritual quagmire? You feel as if your relationship with God is in a real rut, and you just feel emotionally and spiritually dry. I know there have been times in my life where I feel like that. And sometimes we can get spiritually, well, depressed. And, well, it could be for many reasons. Our lives are not simple. They get messy, confusing, and out of control. And sometimes it's because of things that we have done. Things where we've made bad decisions, where we've made big mistakes, and where we've sinned. Other times, it's because we live in a world that's so messed up and so out of control, and we get caught up in it, and our troubles we cannot control. And I'm left asking, and I'm wondering if you do too, does God care about my disappointments, my anxieties, my pain, and even my despair? So I can't figure out why I'm constantly disappointed. There's so many disappointments in my life, you may feel. I can't have children. I can't find somebody to spend my life with. People I love so dearly are dying around me, or are just so unwell. How can I grow spiritually when I'm not even sure God cares about my disappointments? For others, our spiritual well-being is severely impacted by, well, our anxieties. These anxieties that overrun us. I can't afford to pay the next bill. The mortgage is now just out of control with these interest rates. I'm constantly worried whether my kids are safe. They're getting older, they're turning into teenagers, and now they're doing things that I'm not there. And sometimes our anxiety is just that we really just struggle. We struggle socialising with people, talking to people. I get so tense and anxious. How can I grow spiritually if I'm not sure God cares about my anxieties? And sometimes it's real, severe, and acute pain that we feel. Some of you may have read of or heard about C.S. Lewis, the great theologian who wrote the Chronicles of Narnia, those kids' stories that are on the big screen now. And he shared the grief and immense pain he suffered when he lost his wife. It was acute and overpowering. His dealing with grief was really helpful for us to consider, as he shows how overwhelmed, how his feeling of utter and complete despair just run him down. Maybe despair is a good way to describe how you feel at the moment. And once again, I go back to that question. I can't help but ask, does God care about my pain and despair? Does God care? Well, you'll be glad to hear the answer is a resounding yes. He does. And today, I want to show you how we can be sure of this, even when we don't feel it. And I don't want to show you so that we can get rid of those things in our life that are happening, because sometimes we can't. Sometimes we can't. But I want us to grow spiritually as we understand that God cares for us. You see, only a God who cares about us unconditionally could possibly be described in the manner that he is in Psalm 8. You see, in the beginning of Psalm 8, we have a picture of the majestic God, glorious God in the heavens, far bigger and greater than us. And then David, the writer of the psalm, starts to consider himself, and he thinks about God in the heavens. And he gets to verse 4. And we see in verse 4, he says, "What is man that you are mindful of him? The son of man that you care for him?" You made him a little lower than the heavenly beings and crowned him with glory and honour. You made him ruler over the works of your hands. You put everything under his feet. God, majestic, awesome, the one who rules all. Myself, humankind, insignificant. And yet, what is man that you're mindful of him? That you think about him, that you care for him? He cares for us so much that we see not only does he think about us, he has given us the authority. He has given us the authority to rule this world under him. That is how much he cares about us. Our insignificance, and yet God has given us that. Does God care? Well, it's only a God who is mindful of us like that who can be described in 2 Corinthians this way. Have a look with me at 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 3 and 4. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles so that we may comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves have received from God. He's the Father of compassion. That is how he's described. He's the God of comfort. What's the best word amongst that there? I don't think it's comfort. I think it's all. He's the God of all comfort. Not just comfort sometimes, not just comfort in really bad situations or in the trivial or for other people, but mine he's clearly not going to give me any comfort for. He gives comfort all. All encompassing. He's the God of all comfort. Now, okay, we have here a picture of a God who cares. He's mindful of us, he's given us such authority, and we see actually in our troubles he wants to comfort us. But what is the cornerstone of this care? How do we know? How do we know that God really does care? What has he done that shows this? What has he done? And I think this is where Hebrews really does help us. See, in the book of Hebrews, the writer of this book was writing to a people who he considered to have spiritual problems. They, if you like, were in a spiritual quagmire, in a real dry patch, because they were in danger of falling away. They were in danger of drifting away and leaving it all behind. That's how bad their state could possibly be. And his concern was to remind, don't drift away, don't let go. And in this context, he starts the letter in chapter 1 with these words. In the past, God spoke to our forefathers through the prophets at many times and in various ways. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, and through whom he made the universe. The first thing I want to say is that we know God cares about us because he's bothered to speak to us. Why would God just care to bother to talk to us if he didn't want to communicate to us, relate to us, share himself with us? Why would he do it? God has got something to say to us, and it matters. And he's spoken to his people for generations after generations in many different ways through the prophets. And then we see now, in today, in these last days, he's spoken to us by his Son, Jesus. His words are about him. And if we want to know that God cares about how we're going spiritually, we need to see Jesus and understand him. So firstly, we know God has spoken to us. Secondly, we see that Jesus became one of us. That what he spoke to us about his Son was that he became a human. Have a look with me at Hebrews chapter 2 as we just pick out a couple examples of this. Let me read to you chapter 2, verses 14, 17, and 18. Since the children have flesh and blood, he too shared in their humanity, so that by his death he might destroy him who holds the power of death, that is the devil. For this reason he had to be made like his brothers in every way, in order that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in service to God, and that he might make atonement for the sins of the people. And then verse 18, because he himself suffered when he was tempted, he is able to help those who are being tempted. Let's be clear about this one Jesus who has come amongst us. He is like you and I, fully human. That profound, amazing thing that Jesus, in perfect relationship with his Father, comes down, incarnate, becomes a man, fully human. He's shared in their humanity. He's made like his brothers in every way. But notice verse 18. As we consider that he was human like us and experienced what we experienced, verse 18 says, because he himself suffered when he was tempted, he is able to help those who are being tempted. Does God care? Does God care and understand what it's like to be human? Yes. Can he relate to my fears, my expectations, my experiences better than anyone? Jesus faced temptation. And if you recall, he faced profound temptation. We find out in the Gospels that Satan himself came before him before Jesus started his ministry and challenged him, "Get rid of your father, I will give you everything." Jesus knows what temptation is like. He knows what heartache and pain and struggle is like. His family hated him. The leaders of the day couldn't stand him. They were trying to kill him. He was a human who understands what it's like to be a human. Are you going through tough times and troubles that are causing you to have spiritual doubts? Is your spiritual quagmire so bad that you just feel like, well, maybe I'm at the point of packing God in? Maybe I already have. Jesus cares and can relate. He was tempted. He experiences what we experience as humans. It is helpful for us, when thinking about God cares, that we remember Jesus knows. But we can't stop here. You see, Jesus is far more than just an empathetic friend who can say, "I know how you feel, because I've gone through it as well." He's far more than that. He did so much more, oh so much more. He died. He died for us. Let's have a look at Hebrews again, in these verses 14, 15 and 17. This time consider not that he's human, but what he did when he came as a human. Since the children have flesh and blood, he too shared in their humanity, so that by his death he might destroy him who holds the power of death, that is the devil, and free those who all their lives were held in slavery by their fear of death. For this reason he had to be made like his brothers in every way, in order that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in service to God, and that he might make atonement for the sins of the people. His death shows succinctly, pointedly, climactically, God cares. His death destroys the power of death, and the one that has that power, the devil. You see, our struggles and our temptations, we're often faced with those things that are wrapped up in death and the devil tempting us. And all those things Jesus has dealt with on the cross because he cares about us. On the flip side, we are free in verse 15. We are free from slavery to death. And a little bit more we see in verse 17, he is a merciful and faithful high priest. He cares about how we're going spiritually, so much so he wants to make sure that when we come before God, we're right with God. And so, as our high priest, as our brother, he stands in our place on our behalf. That's what he's doing as a priest. He's mediating. He's saying, they're okay because I've died for them. And the reason that his death for us is makes it okay is because we see there that he might make atonement for the sins of the people. That is, the sins of the people have been atoned. They've been dealt with. The penalty has been paid. Everything has been made right. See, here we just have a little snapshot. That we could go through the Bible, we go through more of Hebrews, we could go through Paul's letters, we could go through constantly looking at the cross, and we will find time and time again different ways to describe that the cross tells us God cares about us. Now let's just spend a moment and reflect. We have a God who is mindful of us. He has spoken to us. He became a human. He bothered to do that, to come down and be one of us. And if that wasn't enough, he died for us. Now ask yourself the question, does God care? Is he the God of all comfort? The answer has to be, of course he is. Of course he is. Now that said, what about my spiritual depression, my angst, my heartache? We need to hear today that God wants to deal with our problems. He is concerned about them. It's very clear from what we've just seen. God is worried about how you're going. That you're feeling like packing it in because life's getting too hard and relationships are breaking down, he cares about it. That your health is declining, God cares about it. Whatever your situation that's causing you to struggle with your relationship with God, God cares. And we need to understand when we're dealing with our relationship with God, our spiritual well-being, and contemplating that God cares for us, we cannot abstract Jesus out of the picture. We cannot just see that Jesus dying on the cross is a cliche that we believe in, but when it comes to God cares and comforts me, I need more. See, we need to consider Jesus. The writer of the Hebrews knew that those people needed to hear this, that they needed to fix their eyes on him and look to Jesus and not drift away, to consider him. The whole book is littered with those ideas, just like at the beginning of the next chapter. Therefore, holy brothers, who share in the heavenly calling, fix your thoughts on Jesus, the apostle and high priest whom we confess. Jesus is who we consider all of life. If we're going to get out of our spiritual struggles, to grow, to become more like God, we actually don't put Jesus aside and look for something else. We turn right back to him. And as we do this, we have this verse in 1 Peter. This verse in 1 Peter, which really just simply and unambiguously tells us that God cares. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7. Cast all your anxiety on him, because he cares for you. God wants us to put all our anxieties on him. And how does this look? What's the procedural steps that we take? Well, I'm not sure that's the way we need to think about it. What we need to think about is what's going on in my life and how can I bring them before God and say to him, I want you to help me. But I want to focus back on Jesus. That I'm maybe not going to get out of this despair, but I need to continue to focus back on you and trust in you. And if we do this, I suspect that alongside our despair, which may stay, we could have a feeling of relief and joy because we know Jesus cares for us. Have you ever considered that how you're feeling in your spiritual dryness, you could have that alongside joy and relief? They seem to conflict. But in this time before we're in heaven, we can have this sense of relief and joy. And as we look at this verse, what do you think of the first word? Cast. Cast all your anxieties on Him. See, how do you cast something and throw something? I mean, pick up a tennis ball and throw it at somebody, but at the same time, keep a little bit of the tennis ball in your hand. You're not going to be able to do that. To cast all your anxieties is to say to God, I'm not going to keep some of my troubles to myself, but I'm going to give you the big ones. Or you can't handle this, or I just don't want to give it to you, or it's too hard, it's been my fault. And it's cast is to say God wants us to deal with all our anxieties with Him. To throw them to Him. Not to let go. That's clearly not what we're saying. We want God to comfort us. And He wants to. He wants to. The last thing, the last point before we wrap up is very important for us to be clear. God's caring, you see, is not dependent on our performance. The thing is, are we a people of grace or not? That description of Jesus dying for us and dealing for our sins as our high priest, as our mediator, did He do that unconditionally or not? Yes, He did. It wasn't dependent upon how good I was, my performance. So when it comes to Him comforting me, doesn't all of a sudden not become grace anymore and God doesn't want to comfort me in certain situations if I don't perform well? He's a God of all comfort. We want to grow more and more like Him. But we can't think that I need to get better at doing what God wants because then He'll make me deal with this situation better. As if we've got a balance sheet that needs to be fixed up. His care is unconditional. And I think so much of our grief and despair can be handled better if we stop trying to think our performance gives us better comfort. God cares. I hope in your heart you feel that. In your mind, you've been convicted of it as you've considered Jesus. Let me finish today by reminding you of the example of Habakkuk. Habakkuk is a prophet in the Old Testament. He's got his own book. His own book is full of despair and grief and anguish as he is a devastated man. His people Israel have been hammered. They've been demolished. He's seen his family fall apart. His greater nation's in turmoil. There's famine. There's disaster. And he talks to God. God talks back to him. He talks back to God. And he gets some answers. Things aren't all cleared up. It's not perfectly clear. He's still in despair. He's still in grief and heartache. And yet when he finishes, he responds as a man who knows that God cares. Let me read to you his conclusion. Though the fig tree does not bud, and there are no grapes on the vines, though the olive crops fail and the fields produce no food, though there are no sheep in the pen and no cattle in the stores, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in God, my Saviour. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you oh so much that you care for us. Father, there are times when we just don't feel it. There's such immense grief and heartache in this world. And we pray that you will help us to consider Jesus, to remember you talk to us, that your Son came amongst us and he dealt with all our hardship. Help us to consider him, to cast our anxieties on you. Thank you that you are the God of all comfort. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen.